Divided Kingdom, the evening news program with a Christian view that many of you have come to know and trust. Elizabeth Caverly, that's me, and Lou Caverly, my husband. We are Mr. and Mrs. America. We represent the ordinary people who are really alarmed at the things that the elite are trying to push on us, the Agenda 2030, move everybody off the rural lands, put them in cities in high rises with very little grass left. Everything is changing. The women's magazines appear to be leaving. They're getting littler and littler. This month's Woman's Day is 96 pages. Family Circle now has funny little boxes all through the magazine that Lou and I think represents Agenda 2030. It's very much like that book that Glenn Beck had brought out that we mentioned about Agenda 21. It was that idea of being put in a little room, and I don't know whether the brain chip was actually put in. Remember how we've told you the story was that Patriot Aaron Rousseau was told by Nick Rockefeller that that was the goal, to implant a brain chip in every person on the planet. But we do know that this is emergency broadcast number 4, and we've promised you very much to give you the information from Mike Adams at Natural News, and this is called The Great Culling Has Begun. Will your genetic lineage survive? Lou will be bringing you more, and I'm going to start with this right now. The great culling of the human population has quietly begun, covertly, insidiously, mercilessly. A global depopulation agenda has been launched. As this plays out, the vast majority of the human race will be removed from the gene pool, genetically annihilated. Will you and your genetic lineage survive? That's what this article explores. What are the real threats to your life, your offspring, and your genetic integrity? How can you protect yourself from those threats? Why is a global depopulation agenda being pursued? The more you understand these answers, the greater your odds of surviving the great culling. First, let's dismiss any idea that the Great Culling is some sort of fanciful conspiracy theory. World power brokers like Bill Gates and Ted Turner openly discuss reducing the world population by 90%. Bill Gates in particular happily funds infertility technologies, vaccines, and GMOs, all of which are purposely designed to cause infertility and halt new baby births, thereby sharply contracting the human population. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, for example, provided significant funding to the University of North Carolina to develop ultrasound infertility technology that could render human sperm unviable for up to 6 months. Reported by the BBC, this technology was proven effective on rats, and it's only one of 78 different research projects the Gates Foundation has funded under the guise of, quote, global health programs, end of quote. Bill Gates famously explained his depopulation agenda through the use of vaccines with a quote delivered to a live TED audience in 2010. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. Eliminate the weak. That this is the desire of the global controllers is no secret. It's not debated. This is what today's politicians, bureaucrats, and even some misinformed activists of the, quote, environmental movement wish to achieve. The reduction of world population to under 1 billion people. To them, humanity is seen as a threat to the planet and even to itself. From one point of view, this analysis may actually be correct. It's difficult to see how today's mindless masses of dumbed-down consumers steeped in video games, television, and junk food can offer any meaningful contributions to the future of human civilization. So from the point of view of the global controllers, culling the herd of humanity is actually a good thing. It makes humanity stronger, they say, in much the same way that culling the weaklings from a herd of wild animals improves the aggregate gene pool of the targeted species as a whole. The globalists argue that today's human gene pool is stalled. The weak and the stupid reproduce just as much as everybody else, if not more so. The human gene pool is actually devolving, they say, and the only way to bring it back to a point where we have a species capable of reaching for the stars is to eliminate those who aren't smart enough to deserve a spot in the human gene pool. The word for this, of course, is eugenics. Adolf Hitler pursued the same philosophy. Improve the human race through genocide. Eliminate the weak, the ugly, the stupid. Fire up the incinerators. Disarm the target race to be exterminated and herd them into gas chambers or open pits. Modern eugenics. Today's eugenicists are more subtle. That wasn't my error. That was in the text. They've learned through experience that openly gassing entire populations doesn't win over the hearts and minds of the public. So they've developed covert methods of accomplishing the same thing. These covert methods include convincing people to eat genetically modified foods, which promote infertility, to drink fluoride, take vaccines, use synthetic chemicals, increase abortions, and pursue other actions that either kill people outright or drastically reduce rates of reproduction. And we see this right here. I'm interjecting now. In Maryland, we see that there is a big farmer who's producing the genetically modified corn. And Lou, you remember how we went to a market we like to go along large Route 50 that leads to Ocean City and the beach? Remember that market, Lou, when we asked whether the corn was natural corn, not GMO?
Oh, yes, yes. And the gentleman there, I guess he would be the owner of the place, said, oh, it's all genetically modified now. It's good for you.
And
I eat it all the time.
He said, I eat it every day.
That's right.
And then we saw that under all these trade agreements, Maryland always seems to be very active in making deals with people from China and other countries. A lot of commerce going out between the two entities. Well, now I believe we were exporting corn to Egypt. And there was a woman there featured that she was making sure that the best quality corn went to Egypt. And in light of what that man at the market said, what's being grown all around him, I sincerely doubt that organic corn is being sent to those folks in Egypt. Do you, Lou?
Oh, I don't think so. That would be way too expensive, too much work.
And in a recent issue of Martha Stewart Living, Martha recounted how she made this big trip up into the Scandinavian area where the big vault is that holds all of the seeds, the world vault. And supposedly that's going to be there in case there's some kind of a catastrophe. And there are supposedly, I guess, hundreds of thousands of varieties of seeds. And supposedly that will benefit us all. But is that just more elite control? That when they finally have destroyed the pH in the soil with the chemtrails, and they finally have gotten all the foods polluted that are processed to where we can't even eat them. Someone had a prophetic vision about that there would always be plenty of food on the shelves, but it would be poisoned. We couldn't eat it. Isn't that an interesting one, listeners? So at any rate, this big vault that's there supposedly will save us all later. But what kind of seeds are really in it? We didn't really have it substantiated fully that these are non-GMO seeds. We're not sure about it. But we have this as a background because we can warn you that you'd better think about having some storable food, and you'd better think about, while you can still do it, those of you who live in rural areas, you can still grow some good corn, maybe some Silver Queen, something like that. But now we're getting back to Mike Adams' article as part of this warning broadcast number 4. The great culling has begun. Will your genetic lineage survive? And, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. If Trump gets the wall built, and shame on those 16 states who are going to go to court against him. Shame on them. They're traitors. They don't want our borders intact. We are being taken over by leftists, by people who do not know Jesus Christ. We are being taken over by Marxists who do really hate our country. We are really, really into a war. We don't know where it's going to lead. We hope it will only be information. But there is Trump. He's trying to help Nicaragua. He's trying to help Venezuela especially. We don't want to support a Marxist like Maduro. We really do want to see Venezuela get back to the prosperity that it once had. But now, back to this article. Today's eugenicists are more subtle, we said, that they're using all of these covert methods, you see. Now, the idea behind these is that, first off, the culling of the human race can now be accomplished without all the horrifying images of Nazi Germany's gas chambers. While the Jews in World War II had to be forcibly lined up and herded into railroad cars, today's eugenics victims willfully line up at the pharmacies to be injected with flu vaccines containing stealth cancer viruses that accomplish the same thing, death. Death by vaccines is just slower and more covert than death by Zyklon B. And I have to interject again that yesterday, and that was Wednesday, February 20th, I believe, I heard Alex Jones comment that the SV40 cancer viruses that they've admitted were put into the polio vaccines, they were very cleverly given kind of a hibernation period for about 50 years before these viruses would activate. So you see, at about the time you would be 60 years old, these things would start to do their trouble in the cells. And then we have all these people removed, dying of cancer. Remember good old Jacques Cousteau, that great environmentalist, that great mariner? Oh, yes, yes. Well, the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner really was that in, I believe it was the October issue of the UNESCO Courier in 1991, he said that so many 100,000 people weren't dying a day. There weren't enough dying. So we know where he was. He was in the mass depopulation plan. He approved of that very, very much. We see all of this going on, and we know that we have to comment on these things. Plus, I just received a note from Dan and Donna Holman, that stalwart couple who stand out in front of Planned Parenthood in Iowa, and they try to convince young people not to abort their babies. Well, there was a new statistic from Donna. We had heard Alex Jones say that we now had one in, I believe, 58 children being autistic. And Alex said if you took it down to boys alone, it would be something like one in 30-something. Well, perhaps Donna Holman was quoting only for boys, but she said it was now one in 31. This is just atrocious. And Lou, with your math ability, there's no way that there isn't some relationship, is there? When you look back generations back, maybe 20, 30 years ago, and it was something like 1 in 30,000, there does have to be some element, doesn't there?
Oh, there has to be. That's entirely statistically significant in the mathematical sense of the word. There's got to be something in the environment doing this.
Yes, and we already know that the thimerosal, the mercury, has been indicted. Despite that weird commercial, that bizarre black is white is black, good is evil commercial that came out of CBS one time in which the woman said, they have now found that mercury is good for the brain of children. We know it isn't. We hear these lies. We used to hear NPR, I believe her name was Diane Rehm, and I'm not making fun of her. I think she had had throat cancer or something, but she had a strange voice. This is Diane Rehm. Well, now, in Maryland, she is pushing for a law that will allow terminally ill to take their lives. Because because her husband died, I guess, a bad death, terminally ill. But you see, we believe here that God holds the keys to life and death. We told you about Betty Maltz, her wonderful story, how she was told by all medical help she would be dead within a couple hours from a ruptured appendix that had ruptured several times before and tried to heal itself so that her major organs were filled with gangrene. They told her she would die, or her parents rather, she would be dead in hours because it would kill an NFL player within hours. But she didn't. She stayed in a coma, and eventually she had an experience in which she stood at the gates of heaven and heard them singing the old song. The account was settled long ago, and the angel said, "Do you want to go on in?" And she said, "No, I'd like to sing a little more, but go back to my family." So her father woke one morning, and he was guided to go to the hospital now. Moments after he left, the phone rang, and his wife was told Betty had died. And the wife was so upset, she said, "Oh, dear, her father, and he's a clergyman, he'll come upon her body. It'll be an awful shock. Can't you intercept him?" So they said they'd try to, but instead, Reverend Maltz went in the nurse's entrance. So he came upon Betty with the sheet up over her. And now the sun began to come in the window, the rays of the sun, and Betty saw that the words were there, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And she began to reach for those living words, the living word, and she opened her eyes. She had been dead for 30 minutes. No one has ever explained that. She was told she could never have a normal child. And years later, when Catherine Marshall, the writer, widow of Peter Marshall, the Senate chaplain in the 1940s, was interviewing her, Catherine Marshall noted that her delightful little 9-year-old daughter, April, was romping and playing on Catherine's farm, even as they were conducting the interview. Now, we know who's in charge. It isn't the New World Order. It isn't the elite. They may call all they want, but if it's God's plan to save you or your part of your family longer than they think you can be saved, he will do it. He resurrected Betty Maltz from death. Did you hear me? If your heart is not right with the Lord, that is the first part of this emergency broadcast number 4. Pray. Ask God to forgive you for running your life your way, telling him what you wanted to do, living for money. Remember the man in the Bible who built all the barns and then he dropped dead. You can't live for money. You can't live for anything but asking Jesus Christ to help you, because he will. I had some moments of discouragement the other day about the radio work, and I didn't feel that I was doing anything very good. And I asked Blue to pray and seek some scripture, and wow, he got something really neat, because the idea was that I was helping, that we're helping you to be delivered. And he got Psalm 97, verse 10. You want to read that. And I knew the Lord was saying, "You keep up the work as long as I give you strength and breath and wisdom." Because our wisdom here is not coming from the Patriot Movement. It is not coming from libertarianism. It is not coming from the watered-down churches with their moral relativistic acceptance of LGBT. It's coming from what Almighty God says in his scripture is right and wrong. And he wants us to warn you the best way we can to stay as well as you can under these terrible assaults, even as things get more and more depraved. When we think about the New York governor and the One World Trade Center lit up to celebrate killing live babies who might survive abortion, we just cannot fathom that this is America. America will never be great again unless this changes. So in the meantime, you want to be as well as you can. Now, going on with Mike Adams's wonderful piece, "The Great Culling Has Begun, Will Your Genetic Lineage Survive the Great Intelligence Test?" Importantly, the genocidal properties of vaccines, GMOs, chemical food additives, medications, and other synthetic chemicals function as a sort of intelligence test for the population. Those who routinely take vaccines are, of course, stupid. Removing the stupid people, the, quote, useless eaters, from the gene pool is one of the goals of the global controllers. Thus, vaccine propaganda serves as a perfect filter for removing stupid genes from the human gene pool. This is no doubt why globalists so aggressively push vaccines on low-income families. They equate low-income with not qualified to reproduce. This is disgustingly different from the values of the Bible. Lou and I can think of someone we know that we help and who helps us. And by the standards of the elite, this person might be borderline challenged mentally, perhaps. But that same person said to me at the time of the death of Terry Schindler Schiavo, couldn't they have put some drops of water on her mouth? And we were stunned. You see, we can't stereotype anybody. We can't call low-income people something or other when they're not. God's wisdom shines in all of us, and that would mean in a Down syndrome child, too. There is mercy and there is wisdom, and we only see part of the picture of people here on earth. When we die, we will be perfect in body and in mind if we are the Lord's. Now, we get back to this. Importantly, vaccines contain stealth cancer viruses that are passed through multiple generations. Now, remember, this is Mike Adams at Natural News. The SV40 virus is introduced to the population through polio vaccines in the 1950s, still exists today in the grandchildren of those who were first vaccinated. This is openly admitted by top scientists who helped develop these vaccines. And they go to Dr. Maurice Hillman. There's something connected to him. Now, that was a new one to me, Lou. Doesn't that shock you?
That is very shocking. In other words, just because you have a child doesn't mean that child is safe from what you underwent.
No, no. Something goes on down. Meanwhile, the efficacy of these vaccines is completely and utterly fabricated, as has been exposed by two whistleblower scientists who blew the lid on a scientific fraud taking place at Merck. And you could go into that a little bit more. We won't bother with the website right now, but you could go to Natural News and find it. Many pharmaceuticals directly cause infertility, by the way. Propecia, that's P-R-O-P-E-C-I-A, a Merck baldness drug, has now been linked to infertility and ejaculation disorders. The game is on. You are living a reality game called Survivor. The big picture here is this. The game is on. You are a contestant in a reality game called Survivor. If you win, you survive, and your genes go on to represent the future of the human race. If you lose, your genetic lineage is annihilated, permanently removed from the future of the human race. My goal is to help you. This is Mike Adams of naturalnews.com speaking. The intelligent reader of Natural News, ensure that your genetic material remains in the survival side of this equation. I want you to beat Bill Gates at his own game, and surviving is winning. Remember, the goal of the controllers is to kill off roughly 90% of the existing population, either through a fast kill weapon release or the slow kill method of causing global infertility. Now, Lou, in case there are any listeners who haven't heard of the Georgia Guidestones at Elberton, Georgia, tell the listeners what is inscribed on this elite marker.
Well, among various things, one of the things is that the population of the earth should be kept down to, I think it's 500 million. Am I right about that?
Right, kept in balance.
And that's way below what the population of the world is today.
And a mysterious person supposedly had this erected, and some people have thought it was Rosicrucianism behind it, some kind of a secret society involvement because of the man's name being similar. Now, we're back to Mike Adams. While Bill Gates only publicly mentioned 10% to 15% in his 2010 quote, Ted Turner publicly announced on video that he believes the population should be reduced by roughly 70% to the 2 billion level. You can see that astonishing video filmed by Luke Rutkowski at www.youtube.com. We don't know if that's still there. Behind the scenes at secret meetings, the real reduction levels being discussed are in the 90% range. If this is the real goal, it would mean a typical person only has a 1 in 10 chance of winning the Survivor game. In this article, I show you how to flip those odds, giving you roughly a 90% chance of winning the Survivor game. That's the ultimate victory. Surviving, having healthy babies, and raising them to contribute to the betterment of human civilization. There's probably very little you or I can do to stop the culling of 90% of the population, as many people today seem bent on their own self-destruction. But at least we can make sure we remain in the 10% of the survivors who go on to have healthy offspring and contribute to a future of liberty, freedom, and spiritual advancement. So to begin, let's first explore the threats to your life and your fertility. These are things you must avoid if you hope to win the Survivor game. The seven threats to your survival and fertility. Number one, GMOs. Engineered to grow poisonous chemicals right in the crops themselves, GMOs are also designed to cause reproductive failure in any mammal consuming them. Now, I'm going to interject again here. You've heard very much about the RBGH, the recombinant bovine growth hormone in the cows. We've talked about it here in the milk. So you only want organic milk. And you've heard about Roundup used on the crops, the corn, all this, but we'll be getting into more of that. And now I think there's a possible kind of agenda to get rid of certain populations of illness. For instance, people who are celiacs. Now, that, loosely speaking, may be Lou and me. I think more pronounced in my case, perhaps, because a number of my family has been tested, and they were celiac. And sometimes I think the same gene is connected with some autoimmune diseases. So that is there. But what we've been noticing is, I've been on a gluten-free diet since 1988, and in the beginning, when you read the materials, all the celiac scientific materials, oats was never safe, and of course, wheat, barley, rye, they were not safe, and now there's a big push to put oats into everything for the celiac population. And even some of the newest materials admits that very few oats are not contaminated by wheat. They have to be grown in a very special way in Scotland. But we have these big companies like Cheerios, others are bringing out things that have oats and some of the more organic types of things now. The granolas, everything has oats. You can't find it without oats. Then they're now introducing the ancient grains like sorghum, amaranth, millet, teff, some of these. And I felt that I had reactions, especially to amaranth and quinoa. And then I found one article in one of the gluten-free magazines that said some people who are celiacs have similar reactions that they would have to gluten. Now, why are all these cereals suddenly having amaranth, quinoa, and much less total rice, you see, or total sorghum is not as ancient, I think, as some of the others. It's more like corn. But I think that we're starting to see perhaps that prophecy of the man that said he saw the grocery shelves filled, but everything was poison and you couldn't eat it. Then again, you know that if you're trying to give up milk and cheese, you go to substitutes. And there was one of these brands that had a substitute macaroni and cheese, but it always had an odd flavor. We weren't too sure whether we felt well on it. So I phoned them up, and I asked whether artificial flavor meant aspartame, and would they get back to me? We never heard a word. And you do remember that Betty Martini, the very great expert on aspartame, said it was hidden in thousands of foods. And one time I asked her about whether we should be using Tums, and she said, well, it's suspect if it says flavor or artificial flavor. And so beware of that. Look at things. If it has flavor or artificial flavor, you're getting cookies. You don't really want that. Now we're seeing some labeling that will say genetically engineered. Now, sometimes we like certain candies or cookies, and I already knew that soy, most soy in America is genetically modified. So if it said soy lecithin, I didn't get as upset because I thought that the proportion of that in a piece of candy would be very small or in a cookie. But now I think there's some truth in labeling. So you do see that it might be very consequential, or sometimes perhaps it's not as consequential if the amount is very, very small. But only you can decide what you're going to do. So now we're getting back to number two, vaccines. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and Mike says they're loaded with stealth cancer viruses and chemical adjuvants. And one of those, I'm not sure whether I can think of the name of it right now. I don't know whether you can, Lou. It starts with an S. You can't think of that either, can you? But after we heard this thing was bad, this adjuvant, then I saw it in some women's cosmetics. And I thought, my word, see, they're getting us everywhere they can because the cosmetics go into your skin. And most of you women already know that, help me, Lou, what's the thing we want to avoid?
Lots of things. Formaldehyde, for one.
Yes, that's one. And fingernail polish. That's important.
Yeah.
The parabens. That's the other one.
Yeah.
You don't want the parabens going into your skin through cosmetics that's linked with breast cancer. So anyway, the vaccines, Mike says, are behind these rising rates of infertility, birth defects, and spontaneous abortions. Vaccines are aggressively pushed in minority neighborhoods and low-income areas. Chemtrails, formulated with aluminum, barium, and other heavy metals, chemtrails cause human exposure to toxic metals that impair brain function and neurological function. This exposure may contribute to birth defects and deformities, but details need to be further explored. Four, prescription medications. Prescription medications, drugs, and chemotherapy damage DNA, promote impotence, and decrease both sperm quality and egg quality. Number five, chemical food additives. These chemicals damage DNA and egg quality, causing infertility to be passed down through multiple generations of females. There we are again, Lou. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
What you eat today can damage the eggs of your great-great-great-granddaughter. Poisons in the food supply right now include sodium nitrite in nearly all processed meats, MSG, aspartame, and chemical preservatives. Now, Lou, can you find a paper in your things that said the five foods that Europe won't have a ban? If you
find.
All right, look for that. And while you're looking for that, let me mention that we definitely avoid this preservative, sodium benzoate, and that's B-E-N-Z-O-A-T-E. I've read several times information on it that it damages the mitochondria of your cells, and this is really serious because these things promote your life force, basically, in the cell. So this is something you really do not want to have, sodium benzoate. Look in your mayonnaise. Look at various foods. Now, Lou, you're going to tell us, we're going to interrupt Mike's essay, because I think it's important to know that we are under attack here in this country because they want to bring us down. The EU wants the world government. So just as we saw pictures of chemtrails over Iraq when we were in the Iraq war, this is to weaken the population. So just so, we have other things. Because the fluoride isn't in the European cities like it is here, they want us to be part of the world government. They want to break us down physically. What are these foods that are banned in Europe, Lou?
Well, the title is actually eight foods we eat that are banned in other countries. Number one, artificial food dye. Makes your food pretty and can inhibit nerve cell development. It's found in practically everything we eat. Keg mixes, sports drinks, cheese, candy, even macaroni and cheese. Why it's dangerous? Artificial dyes are made from chemicals derived from petroleum, which is also used to make gasoline, diesel fuel, asphalt, and tar. Artificial dyes have been linked to brain cancer, nerve cell deterioration, and hyperactivity in children, just to name a few. And that artificial food dye is banned in Norway, Finland, Austria, France, and the United Kingdom. Number two, Olestra, or I guess you pronounce it Olean, O-L-E-A-N. It lowers the calorie counts while causing vitamin depletion and anal leakage. It's found in fat-free potato chips, corn chips, and french fries. Why it's dangerous? It was created by Procter & Gamble as a substitute for cooking oil. Olestra robs your body of its ability to absorb vitamins. Fun side effects include cramps and leaky bowels.
May I interrupt?
Yeah.
This is me just interjecting again. Do you remember a couple decades back, there was a big scandal about a connection, supposedly, allegedly, with Satanism symbols and Procter & Gamble? You remember that, don't you?
I do remember something
yes.
about that.
We have
that.
To think
yes.
about these companies, Starbucks, these goddess symbols. We're under a pagan spirit, and that is connected to Satanism, definitely. Go ahead.
And that Olestra is banned in the United Kingdom and Canada. The third one, brominated vegetable oils.
What was that word?
Brominated.
Yes.
Bromine added.
Yes, bromine. Yes, we've heard Alex Jones talk about this, that it replaces the good iodine in our systems. They used to put iodine in the food more, and then that was taken out. Go ahead.
It's used because it makes food dye stick to liquid, but may also cause birth defects and major organ damage. It's found in sports drinks and citrus-flavored sodas.
Now, we have to interrupt. We went into a grocery store near us, a rather large store that once had a very nice gluten-free section, and that whole section was gone. And all that's left is that kind of drinks. And we've heard that terrific profits are made on those drinks. Of course, there was some just bottled water there, too. But go ahead, Lou.
And why brominated vegetable oil is dangerous is because bromine is a chemical used to stop carpets from catching on fire. So you can see why drinking it may not be the best idea.
You know, that reminds me, too, of we bought some cookies from a company in the Midwest at Christmas a year or two ago, and they had propylene glycol in it. That's the chemical that's in antifreeze. We aren't buying any more of those cookies, Lou, are we?
I don't think so. No?
Go ahead. What's your next part?
Well, this is a continuation. I guess you may find this chemical.
And that's listed, bromine.
Yes, it's BVO, short for brominated vegetable oil. It's linked to major organ system damage, birth defects, growth problems, schizophrenia, and hearing loss.
That's schizophrenia, by the way.
Schizophrenia, that's right, yes. And it's banned in over 100 countries. Got that?
Wow, but we can have it here.
Yeah, apparently so.
Oh, yes, thanks to the elite.
All right, the fourth one, potassium bromate, or brominated flour. It's great for impatient bakers. It's bad
now, I have to interrupt again. That's the one I was thinking of. They must be closely related, don't you think? By the,
I think they
the,
must
the,
be.
The language of that, bromine,
yeah.
Bromate.
No doubt.
What was in the oil, it's a similar
yeah.
compound. Go ahead.
And the article says it's great for impatient bakers, and it's bad for your kidneys and nervous system. It's found in wraps, rolls, breadcrumbs, bagel chips, flatbreads.
What was your first word there? It's found in what?
Wraps.
Oh, wraps. Oh, okay. This is really funny. I thought you said rats, R-A-T-S. And, you know, when we're into this idea, nothing is too horrible, you see, for them to provide for us. But it wasn't quite that horrible. Wraps as in, well, kind of Mexican food where you wrap things in it and bake it or don't bake it. Go ahead.
And it's dangerous because it's derived from the same harmful chemical as brominated vegetable oil. Brominated flour is used to decrease baking time and reduce costs. The only problem is it's linked to kidney damage, cancer, and nervous system damage. It's banned in Europe, Canada, and China. Now, the next one, number five, has a long name. Let's see if I can tackle it here. It's azodicarbonamide.
Now, that's the one that was supposedly in the buns at Subway.
Oh, yes.
And then supposedly they took it out. We haven't heard anything lately. We don't know. Has anything been reversed? Go ahead.
And that fits because it says it bleaches flour, plastic, and induces asthma as an added bonus. It's found in breads, frozen dinners, boxed pasta mixes, and packaged baked goods.
I think I would spell that one more time for the listeners.
Yes, it's azodicarbonamide. And it's dangerous. It's used to bleach both flour and foam plastic, yoga mats, and the soles of sneakers. And it has been known to induce asthma. It's banned in Australia, the United Kingdom, and most European countries.
Now, are we noticing that the United Kingdom doesn't have any of these?
Yeah, they're pretty careful.
We know that Britain has never really given up on us being their colony. That's an aspect of this, too. We have to know that when we talk about involvement in the New World Order. We have so many factions, and we can never pin it down on one auspice. We have secret society connections, Freemasonry connections, Jesuit connections, royal family, the Bilderbergers started, the Nazi and royal family connections. We have England itself, the philosophy to break down America and take back their colony. We don't know who the top power brokers are, but we can see the top elite here with the depopulation. They're coming out. They're making statements. And we have heard statements from people like the royal family in England. They've talked about depopulation. Prince Philip, I think, has made remarks. What's the next one, or do we have a little more on that one?
No, that completes that one. Now, the next one, if you've looked at cereal boxes, you've seen that...
And not, that's number what? Is that
number six
seven?
Coming
six.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
BHA and BHT. Those are waxy preservatives linked to cancer and tumors. Found in cereal, nut mixes, gum, I guess they mean chewing gum, butter, meat, dehydrated potatoes. They're dangerous because they're used to keep food from becoming rancid. And the full name is BHA, is short for butylated hydrox... Now, let me take a crack at this one. Butylated hydroxyanisole, that's BHA, and butylated hydroxytoluene, BHT, are known to cause cancer in rats.
Now, you look on that, listeners, I think you're going to find this in almost every one of your cereals. We were buying a gluten-free kind of a Rice Chex cereal because it said this was only used in the wrapping to keep it fresh. But you could smell something synthetic, and I guess it's just as good for us. It looks as though they've stopped making that cereal, so we won't be tempted to get that. When I got it, I would quickly take it. I would get Lou to get the one with the farthest date ahead, so we knew it had been packaged recently. Then we'd put it immediately into a glass jar. But we probably shouldn't have been taking that chance even. What's your next one, Lou?
Well, before we leave that, BHA and BHT are banned in Japan, the United Kingdom, and many other European countries. Next, we have number seven, synthetic growth hormones, RBGH and RBST. They're harmful to cows and linked to increasing tumor development in humans, found in milk and dairy products. They're dangerous because growth hormones are bad for cows and people, potentially causing infertility, weakened muscle growth, and a whole array of cancers.
I think this is a biggie right here.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything else, Try to avoid any kind of non-organic milk products.
And those synthetic growth hormones are banned in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Japan, and the European Union, which probably at the time of this came out included the United Kingdom.
Oh, absolutely it did. Yes, because we've had that for a few years.
Number eight, last in the list, is something I'll bet you thought was a poison. It's called arsenic. And the comment, basically, this will slowly kill you. It's found in poultry. Why it's dangerous? It's used in some chicken feed to make meat appear pinker and fresher. Seneca is poison, which will kill you if you ingest enough. It's banned in the European Union. Well, that completes the list.
And there has been some worry now about rice. And we do respect Mr. Lundberg of Lundberg Farms, their good organic rice. He felt there was some danger that perhaps you should only eat rice twice a week. But we don't have that luxury when we have to be gluten-free. So we have to trust that perhaps it isn't so great. But we're trying to vary our diet a little bit more. I think you have to look at the priority of things. And you do want to have pure water. I think Mike will get to that. Pardon me. Now, the next one on this list is biological weapons release. A possible fast kill scenario being explored by world governments, a biological weapons release can burn through the population with high kill rates while being conveniently blamed on any desired scapegoat, such as a fictional terrorist group. We are at war with Eurasia. 7. Food fascism leading to starvation. Corporations like Monsanto are seeking total global domination and corporate ownership over the entire food supply. This concept is called food fascism, and it would allow corporations and governments to determine who eats and who starves. Notice how home gardens are under attack. Now, we've already mentioned this big food vault. We can see the handwriting on the garden wall. Now, the 10 strategies that Mike Adams, in his essay, The Great Culling Has Begun, Will Your Genetic Lineage Survive? The 10 strategies for beating the odds and winning the survivor game. Number 1, avoid all poisons. This means eliminating all GMOs, fluoride, aspartame, MSG, artificial fragrances, chemical medications, chemical food additives, and all other synthetic chemicals from your life. For most families, this means gutting your pantry, bathroom counters, garage chemicals, and lawn care chemicals. Remember, the globalist controllers refuse to eat GMO. I have to interject. We heard one time that in the Monsanto cafeteria, they had organic food. We don't know whether that's true. But they, Mike says they refuse to eat GMO and consume only organic foods. Ever wonder why? Because they know the chemical-laden, genetically modified foods are being used to kill off the uninformed masses. Number 2, use nutrition to protect your DNA. This is absolutely crucial. Good nutrition, superfoods, high mineralization, antioxidants, plant concentrates, etc., can prevent DNA damage from exposure to low levels of radiation as well as toxic chemicals. Above all, good nutrition boosts reproductive health, sperm quality, egg quality, and even brain function, so you think more clearly and don't get suckered into globalist propaganda. Now, I would interject again here. I realize that a lot of things are genetically programmed, and perhaps I was programmed to have very smooth skin. I don't know. But my skin is that of someone maybe 30 years younger than I am, and I attribute this to a long time ago now, decades, when I had some kidney infections, and a young doctor about my age put me on high doses of vitamin C. Now, that was rather rare for a doctor to have a nutritional idea like that, wasn't it? And I think I benefited greatly by having that vitamin C. So, you know, you may want to think about B vitamins, and especially if you're over 50, you must have B12 that is sublingual because your body can no longer digest it when it's inside a vitamin pill that you swallow. You don't make enough intrinsic factor, so you must get sublingual, the kind that you put under your tongue. And it's very important because a lot of people are misdiagnosed with Alzheimer's or some type of dementia when they really just have a lack of vitamin B12. It's very important. And people who are celiacs and who don't know they are, if you're very, very thin, you're often deficient in B12. And if you're very, very thin, you ought to have some blood work done to see whether you're a celiac, because this is something that can be taken care of just by diet. Now, back to Mike. He says that do not vaccinate your children. We realize that. This is a key defense against the great culling. Those who vaccinate their children condemn them to increased risks of infertility, thereby putting their entire genetic line at risk of annihilation. By avoiding vaccines and allowing your children to naturally experience the chicken pox or measles, you actually make them stronger and more resistant to future infections. 4, grow your own food. Well, some of you can, some of you can't. If you can, use heirloom seeds, he says, and soil probiotics, rainwater. Grow food that nourishes your body and brain. Save your seeds and replant them each season. 5, learn skills of self-defense and physical security. Be prepared to physically defend your life, home, and property against tyrants, looters, criminals, or even zombies. Learn the fundamental skills of self-defense, weapon competency, and marksmanship. I teach this information in a downloadable preparedness course at, and he has something about Health Ranger Live Defense, I think you can go to. 6, reject mainstream propaganda. In order to protect your mind, you must refuse to subject yourself to the mind-numbing propaganda of the mainstream media. This means throwing out your television, shutting off cable news, and shifting to information sources such as truth-telling websites and books. And now, we interject at this time, this is a few years after Mike's article, at this time, we like to watch Fox News with Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. We are getting a lot of truth there, and we are getting support for the middle class who voted Trump into office. This could change, but we certainly don't advise people to be watching the other MSM to any degree, because we are getting actual lies from the radical leftists. Do not try to save everyone, Mike says. Most of the masses will be culled. They are already beyond hope, having been poisoned with fluoride, vaccines, GMOs, and other chemicals into a state of total denial. Have compassion for them, for they are the last of their kind. But do find other aware and informed survivors and get to know them. Share skills and knowledge. Form a community defense plan for a worst-case scenario possibility. Cross-train each other to spread skills across the group. There is strength in numbers. We would depart from this a little bit because we are doing this radio program in the hopes and prayers that some of you will tell others about thedividedkingdom.org, our website, and that some of these people who are in denial, you will pray for God to awaken them, because this can happen. We are responsible. The Bible tells us we are to love our brother. We are responsible. So we don't just write people off. But after you've tried 2 or 3 times, and you're somewhat relentless. I was relentless the other night with a group of friends about the dangers of Wi-Fi in their home. And they had a sick daughter. You don't want to bring her into this. We've looked it up. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. And I was rather relentless, wasn't I, Lou?
Yes, that's right.
I kept at it and at it.
Yes.
I didn't become ugly, but I insisted to the point that then I think I've probably done all I can do, unless we find a very good article to convince. You never completely give up, but you don't let it destroy you either, because you know that some people are always going to be apathetic. Now, this replies, or rather refers, to the people in the churches, especially the pastors, who are so apathetic. They don't want to rock the boat, their nice, cushy little life. They don't want to go out and stand in front of Planned Parenthood like Dan and Donna Holman, that elderly couple, do. They don't want to breathe a word. They don't want to quit using the message for their scripture reading in their church, even when people warn them how the modern versions, the message. Now, the late Eugene Peterson, we wonder where he is right now. He advocated homosexuality, and he wrote the message. And these pastors are using this. Even when we tell them about it, they don't even reply to us. God will judge. God will judge, because they were to be watchmen. We are watchmen because we don't want the blood on us. And it's more than that. We want to help people. We want our lives to have meaning. There is no meaning in wanting to be an elitist and have your philosophy like Jacques Cousteau, not enough people are dying. What kind of a reason to live is that? If that's what I were standing for, I would want to commit suicide. Wouldn't you, Lou?
Yes. Yes, it'd be nothing to live for.
No, there's no hope, and heaven will be beautiful. We know that. We've had some indications from some family members who died, some miraculous things that happened. We really do believe heaven is real. Now, we've got to get back to number 8 on Mike's list. Follow a philosophy of core redundancies. Examine all the critical infrastructure necessary to support your life. Food, water, heat, shelter, emergency medicine, defense, communications, etc. And put at minimum a second layer of redundancy in place for each one. There's where Lou and I have failed. We really haven't taken care of this. There would be an EMP strike. There are various things. Isn't that right, Lou?
Yes, I'm afraid.
We really haven't thought this out.
No.
We truly haven't. And one of our longtime listeners urges us to sew foam coats. I think there was a special DVD out of the Prophecy Club in which someone told how this would really keep us warm. We couldn't do everything, and perhaps someday we will try to find that information again and do it. We don't know. But you have to do as the Lord leads you. Try to at least have some food stored. Number 9, train yourself for mental adaptability. In order to survive, you must not allow yourself to ever be locked into the tunnel vision of narrow thinking. To survive, you must be able to adapt, solve problems, and use resources in innovative ways. Training for this can involve solving mental puzzles, including playing problem-solving puzzle video games, exploring the outdoors, learning new skills such as juggling, and trying out new hobbies. Do not let your mind stagnate. You will need it to be flexible. Number 10, avoid radiation exposure. Nothing damages your DNA faster than radiation, and sources of radiation are all around us, from the TSA body scanners at the airport to the CT scans ordered by your doctor. And I have to interject, I was so upset at one doctor ordering an abdominal CT type of scan for Lou. And then they were going to put him back for another one. And then I read it was astronomically more radiation than, say, a chest x-ray. So no more. No more. So you want to request sometimes, maybe you can have an MRI instead of a CAT scan. You have to do some thinking. You can't be back in that old-time way when, oh, the doctor knows best. I don't think. I just do what he tells me. I take the drugs for asthma that cause asthma and death. I just am a good, compliant follower. Mike says that these harmful ionizing radiation procedures damage your DNA and compromise fertility. He says, avoid using cell phones, smart meters, and even Wi-Fi if possible. Now, he was ahead of his time, because this is a few years old, this article. Especially avoid medical imaging scans, dental x-rays, and security scans of all kinds. Radiation damage is cumulative, meaning it gets progressively worse over time as you are exposed to repeated doses of low-level radiation. Don't be a victim. Be a survivor. The point of all this information is simple. The great culling is upon us. That's also the name of a new documentary coming out that you'll see announced on Natural News. Population reduction has begun. For many, it's already too late for their children and grandchildren because their DNA has been compromised beyond repair. We interject again. God can take care of all things. He can heal something. Lou and I were both damaged, probably by the polio vaccines. I think that perhaps I had a mild version of polio. In my diary, when I was 16 years old, I wrote that I had this terribly high fever and I had never been so sick. See, I wonder, and did that later help my lupus to come on? Because I got a rash not too long after that that was called psoriasis. But many years later, I described this to a rheumatologist, and he said it was probably lupus. And our family doctor gave me a couple shots of cortisone, and then I went in and he said, thank God that worked. I always remembered those words because it seemed like such a serious way of looking at me when he said, thank God that worked. But we won't realize this, but these things are happening to the grand, to the grandchildren come. And we, I hope that we'll be able to tell you more things over time that will help you. Mike says, you are a survivor. We didn't quite finish his article, but he says, what a pregnant woman eats today, in other words, directly shapes the egg quality of her granddaughter. This also means it takes at minimum 2 generations to recover from toxic chemical exposure. You are a survivor. Put your knowledge and awareness into action. Good night.